BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
I'm Alex, I'm 25 and I'm from Chelmsford. You might not know this, but John Travolta once gave me a potted plant. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills!
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Alex.
Hello.
John Travolta.
Yes.
Do explain.
Well, it was at my old job. I was working for a company at Stansted that does, like, private aircraft handling.
Oh, like private jets?
Yes.
Who did you give a private jet to?
Oh, when as they're flying in, I would, like, hop on the plane and be like, oh, hello, welcome to Stansted and stuff. So there was, like, lots of famous people, actually, which is awesome.
Whose plane have you been on, then?
Well, it was John Travolta's. I met Pete Doherty. I never know how to say his name.
Pete Doherty had a private jet.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
He was really nice. He sang me a song. It was that was pretty cool as well, actually. Yeah.
I really thought he spent his money on other things, not private jets.
Yeah, me too.
I don't get it, though. You walk on. Your job is to literally just walk on, say hello, and then these people start performing for you.
Not all of them. They're not all that nice. But, I mean, I would then, like, coordinate their flight back out and stuff.
Oh, this is the service you get on a private jet. Someone actually comes on. Were you wearing a uniform?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you wear a uniform and you go, hello, welcome to Stansted. Who else, please?
The Tottenham team. I met them a few times. What's his name? Rod Stewart. That's it. That's another one.
Rod Stewart?
That was pretty cool.
You went on Rod Stewart's private jet but couldn't remember his name.
I know. Well, it's because I'm so excited. I'm surprised I'm even remembering to breathe at the moment.
What, talking to us?
Yeah,
it's no big deal.
It's more exciting than any of those people, I have to say, because I listen to you every day.
I know, but that's weird, you see. You've been on Rod Stewart's private jet, and you're more excited about this?
I embarrassed myself in front of him. He said something about my glasses. He was like, oh, I like your glasses, they're really nice. And I said, because I was panicking and excited, I was like, thanks, I didn't even go to Specsavers. And he looked at me and was like, what? And I was like, you know, like the Specsavers advert? And it's like, no, I don't really watch much telly.
Oh, that fell flat.
That's an awful joke.
And then I felt like a complete idiot and went crimson.
Awkward. Anyway, back to John Travolta.
Yes. Well, this is my first day, and he flew on his plane, because, you know, like, he flies his own.
Went Has he got, like, a massive jumbo jet?
It's huge. It's like, I think it's like a, I don't know, a 767 or something. It's ginormous.
That sounds big.
Did you just make up numbers beginning with 6 and ending with 7 then?
I don't think I did. 767.
Why does he need such a massive plane? Because he flies them, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he does a captain announcement? Right, it's John Travolta here. I'm cruising at 25,000 feet.
Whether, I like to think that he does.
Weather across London, cloudy. Oh, there's no one else on the plane.
If I flew a plane, I'd do announcements for myself.
So would I.
Does he really do that? Do you think he's the only one on the plane?
Probably.
There wasn't many other people on there. There was a couple of entourage-y type people, but...
Well, let's all big up John Travolta and his massive carbon footprint.
There's a lot of them like it.
Sorry, I keep interrupting your story. Go on.
That's okay. So I went on and did all my, like, oh, hello, did you have a nice flight? Yada, yada, yada. And I said to him that it was my first day, as it was. And he was like, oh, well done, you're doing an awesome job, well done. And then, like, rushed into the back of the plane and came back with this little potted plant that was, I don't know, on a table or something. I was like, oh, my God, I've got a John Travolta plant. But then I forgot to water it and it died.
What, so his plane is so massive that he has got an allotment out the back?
I'd grow my own carrots out the back.
I'm just pleased that Pete Doherty didn't give me any kind of pot plant.
No, that probably would have not been so good.
Yeah.
I like that John Travolta says thank you with potted plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always accept from John, never accept from Pete.
Money would have been good, but I was happy with my potted plant. And I was pretty gutted when it died, though, so I'd completely kind of forgotten about it.
You didn't look after it? Like,
no.
How
really
could you forget to water the John Travolta plant?
I was suddenly like, oh, I should water my John Travolta plant, and found it, and it was all, like, curled and brown.
Do you do a different job now?
Yeah. Well, I live on a farm, and so I do kind of some farmy stuff, but only the nice stuff, nothing that includes, you know, like, killing anything.
what?
I'm also that's what happens on farms.
Hang on a second. So now you work on a farm?
No. I don't work on a farm. I live on the farm, and I choose to do the nice bits, like bottle feeding things.
But you can't even keep a plant alive.
I know, but I'm not in charge. Right. So if I mess up and forget to feed a calf, then there's someone else there.
Well, just as well. Thank you so much for introducing the show today.
That's okay. Thank you so much for letting me. I've
you
been so excited.
Plant pot murderer.
Thank you.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. The Scott
Mills Daily. I want to talk about this. We didn't talk about this the other day. Do you remember the other night when we went to the Manchester United Player of the Year thing?
Yeah.
And we drove up in the car to Manchester, up the old M6. You went past your favourite toll.
Oh, I love it there.
The M6 toll, which is pretty much like other tolls, but for some reason excites Chris more.
I just really like it. I like when you go through and it all goes a bit wacky races. There's no lines on the road.
There seems to be, yeah, there's no real rules. Well, no, I'm sure there are.
It's chaos for
But it feels like, oh, I'm in the north.
Mm.
And then we did that thing where, because we didn't want to wear our suits, which we had to wear, all the way for the journey, to make ourselves more comfortable, we did a kind of Gavin and Stacey, right, lads, next services, let's get out and get changed into our suits.
Yeah.
So me and you and my dad all chose our cubicle and got changed in the nearest service station
separate
to Manchester.
Cubicles.
Yeah, separate, obviously. And came out wearing our suits. And then another 20 minutes, we're at Old Trafford.
Mm.
Did you notice what they were selling in the shop there? Because you had a slight shoe issue, didn't you?
Yes. I forgot black socks, yeah. So I had white socks. And yeah, I didn't have any shoes for quite a while.
Yeah. Chris isn't very good at, like, organising things. So he had a kind of scrunched up suit in a supermarket bag. And also was wearing white ankle socks, like sport socks. And then for a while thought he hadn't got any shoes.
Yeah.
So he was like, Millsy, do you think they sell shoes at the service station? I was like, I really don't think so. Like, they're not prepared for this eventuality.
Mm.
And there wasn't any shoes.
There wasn't any shoes, no.
However, there were wetsuits.
Yeah, yes, there were.
I took a picture of this on my phone. Who goes to a services near Manchester and thinks, oh, I really need a wetsuit? Also, just to prove it, I've got the picture here. $9.99. Scarecrows.
Yeah, again, why would you need that?
At a service station in the middle of the M6. Scarecrows.
But no shoes.
Wetsuits, no shoes. I'd think shoes would be more likely than scarecrows. The Scott Mills Daily. No, Ben in Chesterfield. I'm not suggesting people play innuendo bingo with tea. I'm saying if they're taking a revision break, then they could drink a cup of tea, not spit it out. Oh, actually, yeah, that might be dangerous. That takes it to a new level, doesn't it? No, move away from the tea or coffee or any hot drink for this, please. But do get some water, yogurt, whatever you feel. Make sure you're somewhere safe, and let's play along in a minute. Alice in South Wales is breaking from psychology revision for today's bingo. Hi, we're on the website now, bbc.co.uk/radio1. Look, you can see us and everything. Get to a computer. It's better if you watch. Anthony Kane in Sunderland is having a revision break. Hello. Just messaged me on Twitter. Lucy Alexandria has her water and also a saucepan ready to spit water into. Very good. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Tom Deacon.
Hey, Scott.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Did someone come upstairs and go, who wants to play innuendo bingo?
Yeah, they shouted it and everyone looked at me and I was eating. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready to play.
So you were eating?
No, I was eating. I was eating. Mm. And then, I came down here. So I haven't even finished my lunch.
Sorry about that.
No, hey, it's a pleasure. This is the first time playing.
Tom Deacon is Radio 1's super sub.
Super sub.
Whenever a DJ isn't there, Tom is.
Yep. AKA innuendo bingo.
Exactly. I can't believe you've never played it before in all your time at Radio 1.
I know. I'm excited and nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Okay.
Just spit at him.
We've got... Well, no, don't do that. We've got a weird situation, though, because the normal bin is leaking, so we're not allowed to use it because of health and safety, apparently.
Right, I was texting Becky last night, right? Becky's still off ill. She was like, I need to come back soon, even though I'm ill, because health and safety is off the rails.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, since she's been away, all sorts of minging things have happened. There's yoghurt on the headphones.
Found a fish.
We found a fish from weeks ago, which had been wrapped up in some old cloth, which was obviously rotten. And now the bin for Innuendo Bingo is in itself a safety hazard.
Mm, and this bin is very small, so I'm very close to Tom Deacon.
It's a health hazard. Yes, you are.
We're basically sat around the bin, yeah. And therefore I know where the water... It's going to go crotch direction.
Yes.
Probably, yes.
It's going to be awful.
That is often the way of it.
But let's give it a go.
So if you're watching at home or at school or at college or at work, this is Thursday's Innuendo Bingo.
It's Thursday. It's 1:45. This is Innuendo Bingo.
If you've not heard Bingo before, what happens is you send us clips of stuff off the radio and TV that might sound a bit rude. Our contestants put water in their mouths. Then I play the clips. If they find the funny, obviously the water spurts out everywhere. Are we ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a giggly mood.
You are, aren't you?
That's not good, is it?
Nicola in North Wales spotted our first one. Give yourself a reward of 250 Scott Mills points.
Tom, more water than that.
Oh. Don't just sip it, Deacon.
I'm quite thirsty after lunch.
Don't just... Right, let's go.
Ready? Water in their mouths. And let's head over to EastEnders.
You see, that's what I come in here for, that special bit of banter you got and the way you caress the chickens.
That's $4.90.
Wow. The ladies must be beating you off with a drumstick, bruv.
Chris is gone. Tom is holding well.
Oh, he's held.
He's held well.
Wow. The ladies must be beating you off with a drumstick, bruv.
Oh, and he's gone.
There we go.
What a pathetic little spit that was.
What?
Whoa,
don't challenge my spit. All
right. Got to have some power in it, yeah?
Okay.
More water, please. And Reese off of Horsham, thank you so much for sending this in. Once again, give yourself 250 Scott Mills points, which you get every time we use a clip, if you've sent it in. It's Come Dine With Me this time. Ready?
Mm.
Ready, Tom?
Mm-hmm. My baps are massive.
Sorry, Tom.
Straight in the face from Chris there to Tom.
Literally been in my face.
Now, that clip hasn't finished yet, so...
No.
So, knowing what you know, more water, please.
Hey, it's all right.
Here we go.
It's not gone on the crotch yet.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
My baps are massive. Look at the size of them. Look. Huge. My bap...
Chris, where did that come from?
It sounds a bit like Edith.
My baps are massive.
For anyone's Edith Bowman.
My baps are massive.
The mezzan.
What a review.
There he goes. Right. Another one. Tom, are you alright?
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't expecting this.
Sorry.
This is great.
Let's take some more water. Let us know if you're playing along at home, or at school, or college, or work. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you might spruce up the front of your cottage?
That's not even one.
Yeah, but it was that should have been one.
Do you think you might spruce up the front of your cottage?
I hadn't really thought. We'll probably trim the hedge.
The archer's there. Well held, Chris. Well held. Okay. What?
Just as I got close to the bin. Unbelievable.
It was delayed.
What happened, Chris?
It's on your chin. Look at it.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Radio 4 now. More water, please.
My baps are massive.
Radio 4, play. Ready?
Oh, there's a letter too. Goodbye. I wish you well, Julius.
For the rest of the morning, Papa sat in his chair, fingering Uncle Julius's watch.
Chris is gone. Tom.
How can you keep it in?
How do you do that? He's held well.
Play again, Scott. He's going to go.
Oh, there's a letter too.
Goodbye. I wish you well. Julius.
Julius.
For the rest of the morning, Papa sat in his chair, fingering Uncle Julius's watch.
I knew it would happen eventually.
I could see it in his eyes.
I really hope you're watching this on the website. If you're not, get to the Radio 1 website now. Watch Innuendo Bingo. More, please. More water. Steve, give yourself 250 Scott Mills points. Right? Ready, boys? Steve, what, Chris?
Oh, sorry, Tom.
No, you see, now... Oh, it's gone all over Tom's inside leg, and Tom's still got the water in his mouth. Now, play fair, come
all
on.
All over the super sub. Oh, that's harsh! Right, that's a yellow card.
What happened?
Looked at me, sprayed right over me. There was no innuendo.
Right, can we stop this, please? Yellow card for both of you.
Aye?
You're as bad. More water, please. Steve spotted this one from the Hairy Bikers.
When he cooks, he cooks.
Concentrate.
When he cooks the air of a man who's been knocking out in the kitchen for donkey's years, doesn't he?
Chris is gone. Tom Deacon is holding. But then choked and it spat out. Oh, dear. James in Coventry is loving today's bingo. This is fantastic. Dan, who's watching on the website. My revision notes are now soaking with water. Move them away. I told you for bingo. You know that. Right, this next one. Spotted by Matty. More water, please. Let's head over to BBC Radio Shropshire. And it's Claire Ashford and Jim Hawkins.
Oh, there you go.
And it says, Happy Monday. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, there you go. I love that. That's just
nice.
Let's
see if I can drop one into you before the end of the show.
That's just nice.
Let's see if I can drop one into you before the end of the show.
Tom's got Tom's gone and then Chris. Even our international listeners are getting on the case with Innuendo Bingo. Andy Lawton in Wisconsin. Give yourself 250 points. Ready?
Ready.
Go on, Tom. Water. And over to the Formula One.
But it was almost like Hülkenberg got scared off the track by the sight of Lewis Hamilton's yellow helmet.
Chris is gone. Tom's dribbling.
But it was almost like Hülkenberg got scared off the track by the sight of Lewis Hamilton's yellow helmet.
He's refusing to go. Well done. Well done, Tom.
Oh, he's good.
Okay. Right, you still got the water there? Chris needs to refill? What on earth is this plant called on Gardener's World?
Evergreen shrubs that come from the forests of China and Southeast Asia make useful ground cover in the garden. The evergreen Sarcococca hookeriana will tolerate...
That's a plant. Who knew?
I didn't know how to pronounce it, but I do now.
More water, please.
How do you pronounce it again, Scott?
Oh, right, next one.
The evergreen Sarcococca hookeriana... The evergreen Sarcococca hookeriana...
Yeah, Chris is gone. Tom, hold steady. OK, next one. Anthony off of Kedling in Suffolk. Thank you. Got your water?
Yeah.
And let's go. It's from DIY SOS.
So far, everyone seems happy to help, including the kind neighbour who has let us store the wood panels for our extension in her back garden around the corner. We're going to have to hump over the garden fence.
Nick Knowles there.
We're going to have to hump over the garden fence.
Chris's little wee, like, dribble there.
What?
And then the rest of it, it was just like, looked a bit like a wee. Tom is held again. Well done.
Well held.
One more. More water. Radio 2.
If you were listening, you will know that I just couldn't manage to squeeze in Martin's big one. So, as promised, here it comes this week. So brace yourself.
Did you enjoy that, Tom Deacon?
That was so much fun.
Thank you very much for playing along today. It's fair to say that you held it far more than Chris. Mm. You did well. Good first attempt. Thanks for watching on the Radio 1 website. That was Innuendo Bingo. We do it every Tuesday and Thursday at 1:45. It's mega lols. Let us know how you did today playing along.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1. I've just had an email from Rachel, who's 25, off of Sheffield. She says, I've just watched the video of Innuendo Bingo for the first time, the one where it got extreme with the yoghurt and the pea soup. I've never actually watched it before because my boss will find out I never actually do any work, so I usually just have a spreadsheet up on my screen. However, today he's not in, so today I thought I'd treat myself to a cheeky watch of the video, which you can see on the Radio 1 website. Now I feel very strange, says Rachel. Having been a listener of your show for a while now, I had a pretty good picture in my mind of what Chris would look like. I was wrong.
Well, hang on.
I now have some very strange feelings. I think I may have a smidge of a crush on him. I'm now totally confused and freaked out and wish I'd never watched it in the first place. I hope I can get past this uncomfortableness because I love the show. P.S. Chris, sorry I only addressed this to Scott, but I'm still a bit confused by my feelings. That's going to be awkward between you and her. She might not listen now. That's all your fault.
But this is all from the video with the spaghetti hoops. And
the spaghetti hoops flying out of your mouth at high speed. So, well, whatever does it for you, Rachel.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And now it's time for Dear Scott. It's your chance to have a say on this show. Anything you want to ask about the show, anything maybe that you and your mates have spotted, or something that's happened to you, or maybe you just need an opinion from us. Let us know. Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. We can make this happen for you on Dear Scott. First one this afternoon.
Hiya, Scott, Chris, PR4L, the one that doesn't speak, and get well soon, Becky. In relation to your listener who crashed in a drive-thru, I drove the wrong way through a drive-thru.
Right, now how do you manage that? I mean, the signs and the arrows are clear.
Only noticed when cars coming towards me looked startled. Had to reverse in the curve shape of the drive-thru.
We were talking yesterday about people who have crashed into things, and there's a girl that crashed into the drive-thru, and someone that even crashed into someone's house and ended up watching EastEnders with them. They were in the lounge. They were still in their car. Next.
Not cool.
No.
Love you, bye. Ree, Crickhowell, South Wales.
Don't go the wrong way through a drive-thru. That's an error. Next.
Hi, Scott, Chris, Becky, if she's back, PR4L and TOTDS.
Hiya. How can we help?
I'm listening to the podcast from Monday, and on it, Chris says he thinks that the dog act on BGT is a person in a suit.
Well, yeah, this is my theory. It's a conspiracy theory that it's not actually Pudsey, but a small man in a dog outfit.
The tricks are just too good.
Yeah.
But they're not as good as they could be, because that throws us off the scent.
Yeah,
because exactly. If they were incredible acts that could be done by humans, obviously everyone would think it wasn't a dog.
Yeah, if they were breakdancing.
So what they've done is make them better than any other dog that's ever been on the show.
Yeah.
But not as good as humans, so that we don't suspect anything.
I've looked at the finals, and I think he may actually be right. Anyways, if Chris wants to start a group of people in animal suits for next year's BGT, then I'd be more than happy to help. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, so that's my idea. To up it a level, I'm going to create the diversity of animal acts, but it's just going to be small people in animal outfits.
Yeah, and the tricks, obviously, will be incredible.
Yeah.
And everyone will think that you are cats, but yeah, you're not. You're just in little cat outfits.
I'm a bit big, mind you, but I'd be more than happy to be a big dog or be the owner person if he wants me to.
Mm. I think we have to keep it small, don't we?
Yeah.
Also, I love the way the PR4L says amazing. It's just amazing. Adam, 16.
Thank you, Adam. And we will put you down for maybe next year's big dog act at Britain's Got Talent. However, if we go with the small cat act, then you're not on. Next.
Dear Scott, Chris, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, and the PR4L, we are avid listeners of your podcast since we are at school while the show is on. And recently we've noticed a sexy laugh in the background every now and then.
Really?
We then realised that the laugh belongs to the one that doesn't speak.
Oh yeah, he does have a very sexy laugh. I've never told him that before. I've worked with him about 8 years now. But he does.
Oh, this is weird.
And you can, but he's busy. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, he's pulling the face of, I'll just pretend like I'm working, sort of.
Oh, I thought he was working because he's got his headphones on. I thought he was...
Very awkward.
Yeah, he's just written awkward down. Your laugh is quite hot.
We also took a fancy to his voice in Apple Bobbing. Deep voices make us happy.
What?
Yeah, I mean, that was hot, wasn't it? The Apple Bobbing. Bobbing for apples, starting now. Sexy. None yet.
Very difficult.
How is that even slightly appealing?
I don't understand girls.
Sounds like a drowning pig.
It's horrible. A lot of people were properly freaked out by that. Well, whatever you think, girls.
We like the way the PR4L reads out the smiley faces, so we thought we'd give her some new ones to try.
OK.
Smiley. Sad smiley. Laughing smiley. Tongue sticking out smiley. Big laughing smiley. Crying with laughter smiley. Nonplussed smiley. Lopsided smile smiley. Not bothered smiley. Love you. Hannah and Hermione off of Wimbledon.
Good to hear from you, girls, and thank you for all the smileys. I think we've got them covered now. Next.
Hi, PR4L, Scott and Chris, laughing smiley.
Oh, another one. Hi.
So, as I'm a student, my day consists of listening to Radio 1, and especially the Scott Mills Show.
Well, that's good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Anyways, I was listening when the guy asked Chris to do the photo shoot with him, because him and his girlfriend broke up.
Yes, this is our mate Tom, one of our listeners, who broke up from his girlfriend, but had already bought her birthday present, which was a couple's photo shoot. You know, when you get a professional photographer and you have lots of lovey-dovey pictures taken.
Mm.
So, rather than waste the money and not go, Tom took Chris here. And you can see the lovely pictures, and there's some beautiful ones on the Radio 1 website.
And I find myself in a kind of similar situation. My boyfriend broke up with me on Valentine's Day this year and started seeing some new girl straight away.
Boo.
And I have to see him every day at uni because he's on my course, which is tragic. Haha.
See, that is harsh on Valentine's Day, you know, and he's already moved on.
Whilst I definitively don't want to get back with him, I've been invited to a 21st birthday party in 2 weekends' time where he and his new girlfriend will be.
Oh no, I see where this is going now.
Usually I'm a strong, confident woman, lol, but I feel I need some kind of moral support, and I think Chris will be perfect for this occasion.
Okay, so, this is turning into some sort of almost escort service now.
Right, no Rudies though, right?
No Rudies, but she just wants you to go along, because obviously her ex-boyfriend is going to be there, with his new girlfriend.
I don't think I'm the right guy. I think you need more of a Prince Charming, you know? You need some really good-looking... You need Enrique or someone like that, you know?
Oh, where's she going to get Enrique from?
Well, you know him. Can you not get in touch?
No.
Or, do you want me to tweet him?
That's not going to happen. You just are instantly more available than him, obviously. That's why she's asked. Her expectations are low.
Just to be a little bit more tragic, and I've definitely thought about this way too much, lol, I would also like to mention that I'm from Watford, like Chris.
Oh, this just gets better, doesn't it? Read on.
Anyways, let me know what you think. This is strictly for moral support. I've attached a picture of myself to show I'm a normal person. As a student, I don't have any pictures that aren't in fancy dress, so please excuse the 80s sportswear attire. Love you, bye. Monica, XXX.
That is true. When you're a student, there are very few photos of you with your uni mates that aren't in fancy dress.
I've just been given the photo, yep.
So she is saying no Rudy's. It's strictly, you know, kind of business arrangement. But she has sent a photo.
But will everyone there not know? I mean, they know about this story now. We're talking about it on the radio. Is that not the flaw in the plan?
I don't know. I think it'll be fine. Is that something you might be interested in?
Oh, come on.
Helping out one of our listeners here.
Well, that's the main thing, yeah.
And you've already helped out Tom by doing his couple's photo shoot with him.
Mm.
I think it's something that you might be able to do, and it sounds like it's near your area.
Well,
it
is,
wouldn't be
yeah.
too much hassle, would it?
Well, if it's going to help her out...
This is a bit like... Do you remember I was telling you a while ago about my mate who wanted... a girl that he knew wanted him to come round and pretend to be her new bloke? Because I think she was still sharing a house with her ex.
Right.
And she just wanted him to appear in the kitchen one Saturday morning just to make him gel.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that.
It's a bit... See, I don't know. I don't like how sort of fake it is. It all seems a bit dark.
Are you worried he's going to duff you up?
Nah, I'm
not. Is that what it actually
that.
Is?
No. But I don't want to make any enemies out of it.
No, you won't. It's just a thing where she, you know, she says she's normally confident, but then in this situation she'd feel better with you by her side.
Well, go on then.
So there we are. Oh, right, it's on. That was easy. I kept pushing and pushing and I got there in the end. Thank you very much for all your emails this week. If you've got something to say about the show, something you want to tell us, maybe like that girl there, you need some help, then let us know. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
And now, he is the UK's only hope for the Eurovision Song Contest. He is the king of romance. He is a grand lad. If you like Harry Styles, he was Harry Styles to your gran. She had the same feelings towards this man as you do for Harry. He is the legend that is Engelbert Humperdinck.
Hello.
Is that a good build-up? Do you like that?
Well, lovely.
Thank you. So, Engelbert is representing us at Eurovision a week Saturday.
That's
how
right.
you feeling?
I feel good. Very good.
I've seen you on lots of TV, even doing the one show. I know you were on this morning. You did the lottery as well.
Everything, yeah.
Now, we went out for a little Italian meal last week with Engelbert. And that was one of the craziest nights ever. It was good.
I've only just got over it, really.
Poor Chris here is... how old are you, 25?
25. I can't keep up.
He felt rotten the next day. I didn't feel too clever either. You were probably fine.
No, I was a bit down.
But we got some good stories. And I like it how you knew every single person in the restaurant. You're like... They were, like, you got the special service.
Well...
Have you been there a lot?
I've been going there quite a lot, yeah.
Right.
I like the food.
Right, yeah.
And the host, the guy that, you know, that he's really nice to
yeah,
work with.
They were really nice in there. So, Eurovision, I have been twice before. You've never been, right?
No.
And the night that we went out, I was telling Engelbert about the big procession that happens this Saturday, which you will be part of. Now, I think I made it sound worse than it actually is. It's not like a big carnival thing. It's just like the acts just kind of walk up a big red carpet. I made it sound like it was... Kind of, I don't know.
There was elephants.
Yeah,
there was all sort of fireworks.
I did make it sound like that, and it's not that bad, Engelbert.
Oh, really?
You just got to walk and smile. You can do that.
I could do that, too.
So, when was your first hit in the UK?
My first hit was in 1967.
And that was Release Me?
Release Me, yeah.
Now, that was the year that Radio 1 launched as well. So, were you on Radio 1 a lot at the time?
I'm sure it was.
Don't know.
I'm sure it was. I mean, I had two number ones in one year, you know, so that was...
Have you ever been to Azerbaijan before?
Never.
Because I know you still play gigs in lots of other countries, don't you?
Yeah, I'm over in the European countries a lot, you know, Russia, and I went to Riga and then the Baltic States and all those places.
Okay,
you know?
So that's good because a lot of those countries already know who you are.
They do, yes.
And that's handy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I played in Riga and we did a TV show there and we took, I think there was about 80 million viewers. So therefore, you know, if we could snatch a few of those people and let them vote for me in our country.
It must be weird because there's such a build-up to this and literally you're on stage for 3 minutes.
That's it.
And that's it.
That's it, total.
And
total.
Then you just got to hope for the best.
You've got to do everything in 3 minutes. Mind you, it's a good thing to have a stipulated time because when I first started in the business, you know, I was somebody said, you're going to be on the Sunday night in the London Palladium. And they said, you've got 6 minutes. Now, a quick time like that, you know. So my song released me was 3 minutes and 15 seconds, and I had to put two songs together and made a little duet. Mm. But I had 6 minutes to capture my audience.
Yeah.
And we did it in 6 minutes.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, for a few months now in the lead-up to Eurovision, we've been playing, I think, one of your finest moments, Lesbian Seagull.
She flies so gracefully over rocks and trees and sand, soaring over cliffs.
Beautiful song.
I like it.
It is.
Floating down to land, she proudly lifts her voice to sound her mating call. And soon a mate responds by singing, call, 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 come with me, lesbian seagull.
All of our listeners know this now.
Settle down and rest with me. Fly with me, lesbian seagull.
How did you get to make this song?
Well, the producer came up to me, the producer of what's it called?
Oh, was it Beavis and Butthead?
Beavis and Butthead, yeah.
They did a movie.
He came to see my show in Los Angeles, and he liked my sense of humor, and he said, would you sing this song? Actually, the song doesn't have a sense of humor. It's a nice romantic song.
It is about a lesbian seagull that happens to be a lesbian.
Yeah, lesbian, yes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, no. Yeah. No.
So you said, yeah, I will do that. I will sing that song.
I sang it, and it went platinum.
Lesbian Seagull went platinum.
You won't believe how many Lesbian Seagulls bought it.
I know.
Yeah.
I never knew there was that many, but there seems to be like enough to make it go platinum.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knew that?
Well, birds of a feather.
That's right. Yeah. Now, we were hearing some of your great stories the other night, and my favourite one, which I would like you to share, is how you used to keep fit. Listen to this, everybody, because, like, most pop stars now, I reckon, after a show, they're all hyped up, and they probably go and have a couple of drinks at the bar. But you were a bit of a fitness fanatic, weren't you?
In the early days, I was, yeah. I used to take martial art lessons from the number one martial art man in the world, Mike Stone. And after the show, I would do two shows, and I used to rent a home about 6 miles away from the venue.
Was this in Las Vegas?
This was in Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
And after the show, we'd run 6 miles back to the house.
After two shows,
and have the limousine at the back showing the lights, you know, so we don't get lost in the mountains.
That's how we rolls.
So they still put on a limousine for you?
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
But then the limo was just showing you the way because it was dark.
Yeah, just in case I got a little buggered, you know. And then, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, we have seen pictures of your house.
Yeah.
And we like it a lot that in the Leicester, because you live between Leicester and LA.
I live between both countries, yes. Yeah, I have a home in Leicester and one in LA.
Which is the home that has an actual pub in the garden?
Leicester, definitely.
Now, some people will just have like a bar in a room, but this is a whole pub,
this
right?
This is a regular English pub.
So are you the barman when you go in there?
I am the barman.
So let's say that we invited ourselves to your house in Leicester one day.
The price is right.
Are you pulling the points for
us? I will pull it for you, yes.
He's got his own ale, Scott. I remember him telling me he's got his own ale and everything.
Actually, it's not mine, but it's local. You know, it's called Steaming Billy.
Right, okay.
And it's very nice. It comes from a farm park just down the road.
I bet you've got quite a wine cellar as well, haven't you, Engelbert?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
Is there a cellar of wine?
I've got a cellar, yeah.
Okay, good. This is incredible.
He's just the coolest bloke.
I know.
Isn't he?
What's the... has the pub got a name?
Yeah, it used to be the Duchess of Hamilton, but because the Duchess of Hamilton owned my house in the early years.
Okay.
So now it's called the Red Fox because there was a red fox that was praised by my dog.
Yeah. Okay. And which is the house which has got a street in it or something? Called after you.
Yeah, well, I've got Humperdinck Way and Engelbert Road.
And this is it?
It's my driveways, yeah.
Right, and there are street signs.
Yeah, the street signs.
And what do they say?
Engelbert Way, Humperdinck Road, yes.
So you will drive one of your cars up the
up the road.
You can come Engelbert Way or you can go Humperdinck Road, whichever way you want to go.
Another traffic lights at the junction?
There's no traffic lights. Oh, no, right. No.
It's probably just you driving on it, so you'll be fine.
I know the ways.
Right, yeah, you probably do by now. And let's say you were travelling up Engelbert Road. What car would you like to travel in?
Well, it doesn't matter. I might be on a bike.
Yeah.
You know, I have my old car. I've got old cars. My cars are ancient.
Right.
You know, my Rolls is 1972, you know, a Corniche. And I've got a Bentley S3. And I've got a Jag. All English cars.
Well, that's very good.
This is basically everything I want to be when I'm older.
Yeah. As we were having dinner the other night, Chris is like, there was one point where he was just open-mouthed going, like, and then afterwards he was like, Scott, he's everything I want to be.
Right, you know, I like something about this guy. I like him.
Yeah, he's all right.
Well, we fist bumped, look.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, we bonded.
That's good. Right, we're going to play Rihanna and Where Have You Been, and then we'll have a bit more of a chat about Eurovision. We're with Engelbert Humperdinck, this year's Eurovision entry for the UK. It's BBC Radio 1. No, that's Please Release Me, which I can play if you want.
Okay, play it.
Okay, here's Engelbert Humperdinck and Please Release Me.
It's the wrong one.
Oh, the normal one goes straight in, doesn't it?
That's the wrong. That's the European version.
Please release me.
Still a tune.
I'll have that person fired.
Okay.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
We're flying out to Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Could you point to Azerbaijan on a map?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
I looked it up earlier, but I think we're on the same flight tomorrow.
Yeah, good.
So, which is good. We can have a nice chat.
Right on.
And we can... They have a map, won't they, when we're on the plane, probably, so we'll be able to see exactly where we are going.
But, I, you know what? I hear it's a beautiful place.
I've heard that as well, yeah. I really have. And it's the semi-finals with me and Sarah Cox at 8 p.m. on BBC Three on Tuesday and Thursday. Hopefully, you'll come on that show with me as well.
Are you going to stay for the finals?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I'll be there supporting you.
Okay.
You know that.
Okay.
Do they tell you anything about what to expect at Eurovision? Because I went last year to cover it for BBC Three, and it is huge. And I think they built the stadium in Azerbaijan just for Eurovision.
Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. How much did they spend on it?
I don't know, but it looks expensive.
Good, yeah.
obviously, we need everyone in the UK, because loads of people will be having Eurovision parties on the night. We need everyone to get behind the hump.
Mm.
Yes.
Download the song, Love Will Set You Free. We're trying to think of some other slogans, aren't we? Think Dink.
Put a dink on it, which I thought was a good one.
Mama do the hump.
Yeah.
Is a good one.
Mama do the hump.
It's a song title.
It's a recent song, Engelbert. We just thought it might be good for your campaign. Maybe not, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a real song?
Yeah. It's a real song.
Mama do the hump.
Gosh, I know, you see?
See, my name is getting around.
It is. We should do, like, the show I did with David Hasselhoff, we should do one, me and you, where I just come and live in your house for a week.
Okay, fine.
At home with the hump.
Is that done? Yeah. Is that sorted then? Is that happening now?
I think I just said it and he seemed to agree. So, now, can we do it in LA and not Leicester? No offence.
Wherever you want. Wherever you want.
I love Leicester.
Either in the mountains or in the valley. Down in the glen.
I'm not fussed.
Yeah.
I'll go wherever.
Okay, wherever you want to go.
Okay, and you can pour me a pint. Oh, no, the pub's in Leicester.
I can get a pint over there.
Okay, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
And we can just relax in your pool and go down Engelbert Way.
Okay.
Road. That's right, isn't it? Now, you were friends with Elvis, right? If you're listening to anyone now and you're like, who's Engelbert? Maybe you're too young to remember. Maybe you're like 16, 17. Now, you were friends with Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about him.
One of the greatest entertainers I ever met in my life. One of the most... I mean, the guy was... When you meet him, you know, he doesn't shake your hand. He embraces you, you know. And I got to see him several times, and we always went backstage and talked to each other, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and were you, like, proper mates with him? Or were you just the kind of person he would say hello to?
No. We talked, you know, real talk.
Yeah.
It wasn't just showbiz talk.
Now, there's a great story you told us the other night about Elvis firing guns.
Yeah, well,
I can't quite remember it because by then I was on the second
glass of wine.
He didn't like a particular person, and this person cropped up on the television, and he just pulled his gun out and shot the screen. Yeah, he just shot at the screen. He didn't like him, so.
Well, so he
and
was
it's not like Elvis because he likes everybody, but this one person he didn't like.
Right, we're not going to say who that is, are we?
No, well, we're not going to say who his name is.
No,
poor person. That person passed away.
Right. Okay. So it was just someone on TV. Was he another performer?
Yes, he was a singer.
And Elvis was not keen.
Not keen.
So where were you when this happened? Were you in a hotel room?
I didn't actually see the actual shooting, but right. I saw the bullet holes.
Was it in a hotel room?
Yes. When he took me up there and he said, this is where I shot. I didn't like this guy, so I shot the screen. I put up a few bullets over there and everywhere. And it was ricocheting all around the damn room.
So that's good, though. It gets your anger out there, doesn't it? If you don't like someone, just shoot the screen of the
shoot
TV
the
they're
screen.
On.
Well, it's better than shooting them.
It is, actually.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a gun?
Yes.
Right, okay. Was that inspired by Elvis?
No. I've been in the army, so I've had a gun.
Right. Okay. And for what? I mean, why did you have it in your house?
No. In the service.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. So you haven't just casually owned one.
No.
You haven't shot anyone on TV.
No. Okay. TVs. No shooting on TV. No.
Something else we found out the other day is that you are actually amazing at darts.
I'm not bad.
No. Don't. Don't do yourself down on this one.
No.
You're flipping good at it.
I'm not bad, yes, yeah.
Now, you've beaten a lot of people at darts.
Yeah, well, you know, all the number ones came to Vegas many years ago, and then they all played me 5-1, one after the other, and it was 12 of them, actually, and I beat every one of them.
I like how casual you are about this.
Well, there you go. I mean, if I stop singing, I can always take up darts.
But that means technically... You're one of the best players in the world, right? If you
I'm a good amateur. I'm a very good amateur player.
But you beat all the number ones at darts.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You know, yeah. I've played darts with Eric Bristow. One time when he had too many drinks and I was able to beat him, but then he came over to my house and with the camera crew. And we played 5 games, and he knocked the daylights out of me. He's so good. And I played with Bobby George at his house. You know.
That's the house that I've not been there, but I've heard it's in the shape of a dart.
Well, I went to his older house. But he's.
I've played around.
An extraordinary man, very, very, very entertaining, and a great host.
I've played a round of darts with him, and I missed the board. A bit humiliating because he's quite good.
He's very good.
He is good.
Yeah.
So here's Chris's thing.
Right. So you've beaten a lot of the world's greatest ever players.
Mm.
So my theory is, if I play you and beat you, I'm better than some of the world's greatest players.
Yes, you are.
In a really sort of. Kind of tedious link.
But how many years are you going to practice for?
Good point. But I think the way I see it is if I beat you, that gives me massive lad points.
Yes, because
I'm beating some of the best players in the world,
yes,
sort of by proxy.
Yeah.
Who have you beaten, Engelbert?
Pardon me?
Who have you beaten at darts?
On that night, I did beat Eric, and I did beat John Lowe, and I did beat... I'm trying to think, Mike Gregory, and I did, let me see who else was there. I can't remember.
Ridiculous.
Poor Jockey Wilson, he was a wonderful man. I beat him too.
Right. No, they're quite good darts players.
No, but they were good darts players.
Wow. Okay.
Phil the Power Taylor, you played him, right?
I haven't played him yet.
Oh, you haven't played him yet.
But I did get a lesson from him. I he's the most amazing dart player, I tell you. He's unbelievable.
Right, well, we've got a dartboard in the studio because we knew you were coming today.
Yeah.
Chris just wants some lad points, really, to see if he can beat you. I'm not hopeful on this.
Well, Scott's going to have a go as well.
I missed the board with Bobby George. Don't humiliate me again.
It's me against you against Engelbert.
Okay, well, I think I'm already out. But, we can have a go. Shall we play the song, Mama Do the Hump?
I'd like to hear that.
Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. We're with Engelbert Humperdinck, who is representing us, the UK, in Eurovision this year. So, if you want to watch Engelbert, who is
better than some of the world's best dart players, then get to the Radio 1 website now, because you'll be able to see this in a minute. You'll have to see us getting thrashed at darts.
Wow.
Loads of people are saying that you're an absolute lad on the text. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Lad. And Greg James joins us. Hey.
What a lad.
He is, isn't
it's
he?
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Grand lad.
Hey. Pleasure.
Now, Greg, if you would do the honours, we're just going to... we've realised that Engelbert has actually beaten most of the best darts players in the world. So we've got some walk-on music for each of us. I'm going to be rubbish at this.
But I love a bit of darts.
I know. Let's play darts. So thank you for being our MC. If I roll the drums, and then Chris is going to walk on first. We've chosen walk-on music for each person.
You've got some echo for me.
I haven't chosen the walk-on music for mine. I don't know what it is. They won't let me know. They won't tell me. Okay. Bit of echo.
What?
Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the best darts player in Pinner. He spent the last 24 years at the tap end, dreaming of becoming the world darts champion. It's Chris the Shark Stark.
Oh, this is the music you normally walk on, or you want to walk onto at the darts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
I mean business.
So what are the rules here, do we think?
Well, the rule... Hello?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go.
Well, the rule... The rules will be three darts.
So just three?
Three darts each.
What could go wrong?
Huh? At the ball or
highest score?
Just highest score.
Highest score?
Yeah.
Highest
score.
Okay, yeah. Right. So Chris is first. He's got his M&M walk-on music.
Right.
If you're watching on the website, it's bbc.co.uk/radio1. Watch us play darts now. Okay. What's happening, please?
Okay. It's one. One.
Thank you.
And a one. That's a total of three.
Thank you very much.
You got three ones. That's actually quite impressive.
Three ones there from the master, Chris the Stark.
You would have got some good. You would have got some good odds on three ones right there. That's pretty good.
Okay, good. Next one.
Next
please.
One. Challenging Chris, the man who barely knows which end of the darts to hold. Get ready to duck, everybody. It's Scott the Satsuma Mills.
Right, who chose this?
I did.
Who wait? Who what?
All right, Scott, take your three darts.
Okay, good. This is I've done this before, and I said I'd never do it again. So sorry, everybody.
Here we go.
You might want to duck. No, seriously, do duck.
Okay.
Okay.
Here he is, Scott Mills. Oh. That's a five.
Oh. Yeah, oh, already doing better.
That's a, what's that?
Hang on.
What's that, a seven?
Triple seven, I think.
Triple seven!
Oh. Oh, my word, hang on.
And then nothing.
No, that's a 20.
Oh, is it 20?
Was that, how was that?
35.
What's that?
3 times 7.
21. 21.
35 plus 21.
21. 56. 56. 56 for Scott Mills.
Embarrassing for the shark there.
That was all right.
Awful. Okay, and next one, please. I hope you're watching this on the website, bbc.co.uk/radio1.
So you got 56, okay.
Is it me?
And finally, the man who's representing Great Britain in the Eurovision Song Contest, he's also beaten 8 out of the 10 best darts players in the world, it's Engelbert the Humper Dink!
June. We're just playing your walk-on music, Lesbian Seagull. Hang on.
Tunes.
All the hits, all of the time. Radio 1.
Fly with me, Lesbian Seagull.
Punch in the air, look at him, he's a champion already. Go on.
56.
Go on, Eng.
To beat Mills.
Oh.
Five.
12. Was that 12?
I'm not going to win.
One. Well, there we are.
13.
And at the end of that...
you got 13. Was that 13, Chris?
Engelbert Humperdinck scores 13.
Right, okay.
So, Scott, you got 56.
So, it appears that I have won the darts, everybody.
So,
that's all right. No, let's handshake it. Go on. There we are. Thank you, Engelbert. Thank you very much, Chris. And I am the champion, which proves that it's all luck.
Some wonderful, wonderful scores there. We had a 3, a 13.
Oh, he's going again now.
And a 56.
Give him another
that's
go.
It, that's in the 60.
Oh, here we go. What's going on now?
Double 20.
60, 80.
Double 80.
Yeah, he's just getting on his stride.
Yeah, here we go.
85.
85. Okay, good. But I won first. Engelbert, thank you very much for coming in to see us today.
You're very welcome. You're
Everyone needs to get behind the hump. He is our hope for Eurovision this year. Greatest Hits is out this week. But just download the song. Also, make sure you print out the sideburns, which you can get on the BBC Eurovision website. And when you're having a Eurovision party a week Saturday, get behind him. Think dink.
I'm trying to grow some.
Well, yeah, if you can't grow them by a week Saturday, then just simply get them off the Eurovision website, at BBC Eurovision on Twitter. And I'll see you in Azerbaijan.
I'll see you tomorrow on the plane.
Possibly. Oh, yeah, on the plane tomorrow. We'll have a little drink.
Okay.
All right, then. Lots of people have been on, lots of people, saying that we can't add up. 20 plus 21 plus 5 is 46, not 56.
Oh.
That was me, wasn't it?
We did.
I still beat both of you, though. And
yeah, but I did that on purpose.
No, you didn't, though. So I won that.
How has that happened?
I liked it that Engelbert had another go straight afterwards, after the embarrassment of losing to me on national radio. It's like, he would never live that down.
Technically,
I played Scott Mills at darts once and lost. You don't want that, do you?
Technically, you've beaten some of the world's greatest ever players.
Well, no, because then he had another go and he got 85. He was just warming up, and fair play to him, you know. He is good. That was a complete fluke on my part. Love the hump.
I'm never going to live this down, I don't think.
No. What a lad, though. What an absolute legend.
Mm.
Love him.
Oh, what's occurring?
Okay, so apparently today on Oh, What's Occurring, there is a game called What's Slapping Scott Around the Face? And I think you can watch us now on the Radio 1 website. If you want to see this, you want to see me being slapped, get online. bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. There's so much to watch today, isn't there? So I presume that I'm going to be blindfolded.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to be slapped around the face by three different things. A bit like we did with you the other week.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to guess what it is that's slapping me around the face. And to win some Scott Mills points, you just have to predict whether or not I will guess them correctly. Now, what did you have last time? You had like a mackerel.
Oh, yeah. I had mackerel.
Yeah.
I had a cream cake.
Yeah.
Which was disgusting. And I had some tea.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm going to do is go round to the other side of the desk. You can now watch us on the website as well as hearing us on Radio 1. Let's play. Oh, God. What's slapping Scott around the face?
Oh, what's occurring?
Okay, so we need to put this blindfold on you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put that on.
You got that?
Hang on. When one doesn't speak, make sure he ties it tight, otherwise I'll be accused of cheating.
No, yeah. No need for the headphones, all good. Oh, this is going to be great.
I feel naked without headphones.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Right, stay there.
I can't see anything.
Stay there.
Oh, I hate this. Right, what happens now?
Right, we're just sort of gathering everything. Okay. You all right, Greg?
Is Greg James here?
Greg's come along for the fun.
Hey, Greg.
Okay.
Are you doing the slapping?
I don't know yet.
Oh, I don't like this. Okay, so what happens now?
Right, ready.
Yeah, ready.
For everyone listening but not Scott, this is the first thing that we're going to slap Scott around the face with. Greg?
Okay. A chorizo sausage.
Oh. Okay, now Scott couldn't hear that because he hasn't got headphones.
A chorizo sausage.
Right.
Don't do it hard.
But do you think Scott will guess correctly what it is that's slapping him around the face? 10 Scott Mills points if you get it right. Ready?
A chorizo sausage.
Should I do it?
Scott, what is this slapping you around the face?
Ready?
Yeah.
Come closer, come closer.
Ready?
Okay.
Go on.
Oh, ow. Oh, that's quite... Hang on,
there we go. Just lift Careful. Blindfold up a little bit. There you go.
It's quite...
Maybe put the tip in his mouth, Greg. Right, Scott, what?
What is that? I don't know, you're quite over putting it in your mouth.
Scott, what is that slapping you around the face?
What do you think that is?
Can I have one more time?
Yeah, here we go.
Is it a salami?
Oh,
what do you reckon, Chris? You get the point?
Technically, it was a chorizo sausage.
It was, so that's not correct, I'm afraid.
So
I'm not the same.
I'm not going to give you that. If you said Scott would get it right, you don't get the points.
Did people just see me putting that in my mouth on the website?
A little bit.
Are you...
Okay. Oh! What's occurring?
Right. Good. Ready for the next thing to slap you around the face.
Okay.
For everyone listening, but not Scott, this is the second thing we're going to slap Scott around the face with.
Some bread and honey.
Right. Okay.
What's funny?
Nothing.
What's funny?
Some bread and honey.
Right.
But do you think Scott will guess correctly what it is that's slapping him around the face?
I feel uncomfortable because everyone's laughing.
10 Scott Mills points if you're right.
Scott,
ready?
Look up a little bit of the blindfold. Don't look.
Right, slap ready? Him.
Okay. Here we go. What do you think that was? One more.
Give him another one. Hard.
Hang on, it's fallen down by your feet.
One more time? Yeah, I think so. Other cheek.
Okay, what was that?
Go on, you got
any idea? Is it garlic bread?
You are wrong.
What is it?
It was bread and honey.
Oh!
So if you said Scott would get it right, you don't get the points. He got it wrong again.
Okay.
Right, last one. Are you ready?
That's not going to be good, is it?
For everyone listening but not Scott, this is the last thing we're going to slap Scott around the face with.
A cup of warm tea.
Okay.
What?
Okay. Oh, no, what is it?
Are you sure about this, everyone?
Oh, no, what is it?
Do you think...
Nothing weird.
Do you think Scott will guess correctly what it is that's slapping him around the face? 10 Scott Mills points if you get it right. Ready?
Yeah?
What's occurring?
Go for it.
Chris, really?
What is it?
Listen, it's revenge.
What is it?
Okay. Here we go, ready? What is slapping you around the face? Let's go.
Oh, that's gone everywhere. I didn't mean that much, Greg.
What is that? Oh, it's gone in my pants. Oh,
I didn't mean that much.
I feel like I've wet myself.
So sorry.
Oh, this is a low.
I'm so sorry.
Scott, what was that slapping you around the face?
Don't get off me, Greg. lukewarm liquid, I'm going to guess.
What does it smell like?
Tea?
It was lukewarm.
Wrong.
Tea.
It was my wee.
Was it? No, it wasn't.
It was?
Oh, see, I've been in this situation before, but the other way around. Was it your wee?
No, it wasn't. It was tea.
Okay, cool.
If you said tea, if you said Scott would get it right, you get the points.
Oh, my God, this is carnage.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
If I catch a cold, I'm blaming you.
So sorry. I feel awful. Okay. The one that doesn't speak was encouraging me.
I know.
He's a silent killer.
Yeah, I know.
One that doesn't speak. I was going, shall I? And he went, yeah, come on.
Here's that
gesturing. Throw him.
Anyway, now I'm off with my wet trousers to Azerbaijan, where they'll warm in the sun and smell of stale tea. And I'll see you a week Monday.